Hello, Dave.
Well, hello, all.
Ooh, lordy, hello, Dave.
Hello. How in the name of all things holy are you?
Aroused, splendid, listener. Splendid. Welcome to this already sexy episode of Sustainababble number 28. Sustainababble is your friendly little environment podcast about the planet and politics and why it's all so complicated. This week, we have got a smorgasbord of exciting things coming up, including vegans living a hybrid lifestyle, McDonald's living a vegan lifestyle, hoverboards, flying cars, nuclear power, somebody trumping, somebody harping on or harping out, and all sorts of schadenfreude. If that doesn't make any sense, just keep listening and hopefully it will become clearer.
Thanks, Ol. I'm looking forward to this one. It's going to be cracking. Before we start, the usual disclaimers. So both me and him do work for environmental charities a bit, but the views that you're about to hear are either ours or off of the internet, but they're certainly not anyone else's. So any problems, do take it up with us and us alone.
All right, let's crack on.
You just try and stop me not doing that.
Sustainable of the week. So, Sustainababble of the Week. This is the section where every week we have a look out into the world and see who among the not very green people is trying to sound a bit green. And whoa, lordy, have we got a good one this week.
I'm not sure that this isn't a joke, right? Because it's one of the most batshit mental things I have ever seen. And I've seen Dame Vivienne Westwood standing up in a tank delivering an anti-fracking protest to David Cameron's house. This is our friends at Shell. Lovely, cuddly, fluffy environment charity Shell, right? And what they've done is they've brought out actually a series of videos. You haven't seen the other ones. This is just one of them, right? And it actually came out a couple of weeks ago, but it's been flying round the intertubes this week, right? And What's the best way of doing this? How do we get this across?
I think we might just have to sort of play it. And, you see, it's a bit like Gogglebox, isn't it? When people film other people's reactions to the telly. I think that's the only way of conveying how awful this is. So, yeah. so we'll send the link round. Yeah. Why don't you click on it at the same time as listen to this? And we'll do it all together as a great big Babble real-time social experiment.
And what we'll do is we'll describe what we're seeing as well.
Okay. You ready, Dave? Three, two, one, let's go.
Introduce yourself.
My name's Jenna. I'm Corey.
What we got here then,
We live here together.
We've got two very nice young women.
Very pretty, aren't they?
Yeah. Colourful hair.
Giving up all the things that allow us to enjoy our lives. I'm vegan.
One of them is a vegan.
I'm getting there. Yeah, she is. We have a hybrid car, and we figured, why not take it a
very short shorts they've got on.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to...
I don't know why the camera keeps showing us that. Okay, so they're showing us their gadgety house.
A robotics engineer student. She's super nerdy. She takes
now. What we've got here, she's got a solar panel.
There
we are.
For our house. She
very
park,
green.
You know. She earns her rent.
Listen to this.
In a few decades, we might be able to rely solely on solar and wind energy, but we can't do that right now. The best way for us to run right now is on natural gas.
Oh, brilliant!
I see.
Yes. There's a bottom.
There's a bottom. Natural gas source, I suppose.
That we could take our own steps to use less energy and be a bit less of a strain on our planet.
A bit less of a strain.
Why can't we have a hybrid everything?
Have a hybrid life.
Hybrid world.
Oh, God. So that, believe it or not, I know. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. What you've got is two very pretty girls. One of them has pink hair, one of them has blue hair, and they live in a house which is all green and stuff. And they try to do their bit, and they're a vegan. That's how seriously they take it. One of them's a vegan, and the other one's trying. But, you know, they're realists. They haven't got their heads in the clouds. They may walk around in unfeasibly short totally unnecessary denim pants.
Which, for some reason, the camera insists on showing us.
Yes, in glorious high definition. But they know that although we would like to have a sustainable world where solar and wind energy was plentiful, we're not there yet. So the best way to live the sustainable life that they want to live, you know, being vegans and everything and having nice bottoms, is to use natural gas. Now, who do you know that sells natural gas, or?
Well, there is that massive oil company, isn't there?
There is, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The ones who want us to think that they are part of the solution to climate change, despite being the cause of most climate change.
What is going on here, right, is the latest phase in the battle, the PR battle. So the oil companies are going under. We talked last week about the pledge that had been signed by 10 of the world's biggest oil companies, including Shell, that they wanted to go to the big massive climate shindig in Paris at the end of this year, and they wanted to see an outcome and they wanted to see a carbon price. And we said to them, all right, fine, but what are you actually going to do about it? Well, what they're doing is now they're saying natural gas, that's what we need. Everyone doesn't want coal. We need to burn something green. Natural gas is a bit greener than coal, therefore we'll call it green. We'll call it sustainable. And that way, we can still have a business model that is based on digging up stuff from the ground and selling it. And no one has to change, and we live in a sustainable world, and vegans can walk around with their nice bottoms.
Do you know what I want to do? I want to find out if those two people are real.
Well, I want to find out if this whole thing is real.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It does seem quite like a spoof. But as we were saying before the show, it is incredibly high production value if it's a spoof. You know, this thing is slow-moving shots around the garden, probably filmed by a drone or at least somebody with a balanced camera. It's extremely nice, sort of soft focus, high production. I think it is them, and it is on their channel. But I would be very surprised if those two people were who they say they were and who just happened to take the view that to be nice, friendly, vegan hippies, you had to, right now, rely an awful lot on Shell's natural gas. It stinks. It absolutely stinks. And it just... oh, God, it makes you angry. They can't even have the front to say, do you know what? Screw you. We want to make loads of money out of drilling oil. They're just pretending to be all like, oh, you know, we know solar power is the solution ultimately, but right now, sadly, we have to dig up loads of fossil fuels and burn them and make vast profits.
Come on, guys. We're all on the same side. We're all on the same side here, guys. Go away. Bugger off. Go away further than that. But I tell you what, bugger off as far as you can go, Shell. Then come back and bugger off again after that. Right? Just keep buggering off. Every time you've buggered off, come back, just so we remember what you look like, and bugger off again. And take your fake vegans and your perfectly sculpted bottoms and your solar panels and your natural gas and your high production values and your meaningless pledges and bugger off. Bugger off.
So for anyone who doesn't know, that was the music to the wonderful Back to the Future films. And if you've been living under a rock, you won't know that last Wednesday, the 21st of October 2015, was Back to the Future Day. Ooh, exciting. It's when everything that they predicted has come true.
Yeah, hasn't it, Just?
Or has it?
Yeah, what a bloody massive anticlimax. I've been looking forward to the 21st of October 2015 for... 26 years, or however long it's been that Back to the Future Part 2 has come out. I even had an idea for a book. I was going to write a book about all the stuff that they predicted in Back to the Future Part 2, like the flying cars and the hoverboards and all that sort of stuff, and whether or not it's come true. And then it happened, and all it was people, companies trying to sell stuff on Twitter. But it's a massive anticlimax, really, right? Firstly, because like it just revealed to me the state of what 2015 is actually like. So 2015 is not Jaws 19 and a great big shark coming down, hologrammatically and eating Marty McFly and like hydrating pizzas and stuff like that. It's corporate guff is what it is. It's all joyless. It's 25 million people on my timeline all tweeting exactly the same thing. And at least this time they were tweeting it on the right day, because, like, you know, every now and then someone falls for that spoof, that image that goes around and says, oh, you know, today is Back to the Future Day.
No, it isn't. It's Photoshop.
Great Scott!
But also, what the hell happened? What the hell happened to all of that exciting stuff? Where did it all go? Like, why haven't we got flying cars? And why haven't we got hoverboards and hydrated pizzas and, like, garbage compacting robots? And it's not that I particularly want those things in themselves, right? But when I was a kid, I thought the future was going to be brilliant. And it isn't.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know what you mean. I mean, we have got the pay-by-thumbprint thing, which I think is pretty cool. And, like, that is proper kind of space-age futuristic, the idea that you can buy your coffee, your overpriced skinny latte, double-shot, skinny frappuccino McDougal with your thumbprint is pretty cool. And that was in there. And what else has actually come true? Well, self-lacing trainers is sort of a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, well, that's... people don't wear them, but they've worked out how to do it, I think. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's kind of a thing. And, you know, we have got stuff they couldn't even dream of, didn't we? We've got the internet, you know, which is a pretty cool thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And
made in Chelsea. And
equally cool, and probably important for humanity as well.
Indeed, Milton Keynes Dons Football Club, they exist.
That's very true.
Studio flats in London that cost £500,000, that sort of thing. Mm. Sustainababble, and UKIP. So, you know, it's not all bad news, is it?
No, I think UKIP do want to go back to the future, except when I say the future, I of course mean 100 years in the past. But, you know, we'll give them that.
Oh, this is heavy.
Yeah, it's you'd be doing quite well to confidently predict 30 years hence exactly what the future's going to look like. So I think the fact they had some notable successes is all right, isn't it? But what is a bit depressing is that, you know, there is that tagline of the film, isn't there? Where we're going, we don't need roads. And you mentioned it earlier, you know, why don't we have flying cars? But also, why are we still, like, concreting over the entire planet? I mean, you just don't need it. You know, we've got things like what we're doing now. We're talking to each other on Skype. And when I was growing up, people were talking about video conferencing and saying, it's a thing, it's coming. And nobody will need to, like, fly to business meetings all over the world, or indeed just in, like, you know, the next country. We'll all be doing it by video. And we can do that, and yet we don't. And we can have, like, smart trains and stuff, and yet everyone has a smelly, stinky car that they drive everywhere. And we can have governments that don't pour concrete all over national parks, but we do pour concrete over national parks. And it's annoying. It's not just the technological hold-ups, is it? It's grumpy politicians who are making me grumpy.
So what's changed then since 21st of October 1985, right? So 30 years before Back to the Future Day. There's this thingy you can do on the BBC website where you can put any date in from the last wee while, and it will tell you basically what's happened to the Earth since then. So I put in 21st of October 1985, and according to that, here's some stuff that's happened. One, the sea level has risen by 8 centimetres over that time. We have critically endangered something like 40 extra species of mammal than before, which you said isn't that bad. I don't think it's great. I suppose, you know, could have been worse.
I'm not saying it's great.
As long as one of them is the grey squirrels, you'll be all right, presumably.
All right, yeah, as long as the panda's still in there. Yeah. I was expecting, well, in 1985, 169 mammals were critically endangered, and I was expecting that number in 2015 to be a lot higher, and it was 211, so it's definitely not good. I just thought it'd be a lot worse, that's all.
And then you get onto the really scary stuff. So this is terrifying, isn't it? Carbon dioxide emissions are twice as high now as they were just 30 years ago, pretty much. So that is really bloody terrifying that we've done that.
It was a bit. I was kind of scooting through that website, and it kind of reveals itself. It's quite nicely designed. It reveals itself as you scroll down.
It's nearly as pretty as our new website at www.sustainababble.fish.
Well done, Dave.
Thanks.
It is very pretty. Do please check it out. Yeah, I was scrolling down this inferior website and going, ooh, and ooh, and ooh, I didn't know that. And then it came to the CO2 emissions bit and I was like, oh God.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's horrible. When I actually chose it, for some reason, I chose the date that I was born because I'm egocentric, I guess. So I put in 1984, and back then there were 19.4 gigatons of CO2 a year. And today, 35.6 gigatons, so nearly twice as much, which puts a lot of the stuff we were saying in Sustainable 27 last week into perspective about how carbon intensity. Do you want to play your sexy carbon intensity music one more time?
I've heard people say that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've rolled out your sleeve.
I have.
Extraordinary. Yeah, so, you know, we were going, oh, carbon intensity's down, you know, that's good for every unit of growth, less carbon. But when you look at the actual black stuff that's gone up into the sky and is going up into the sky, regardless of whether we're doing it more efficiently, we're still sticking a lot up there, and in fact, too much up there.
And just some other stuff. I mean, you can go and have a look at this for yourself. So the hole in the ozone layer, which everyone thinks is fixed, we were talking about this, I think, back in episode 17, isn't fixed. It's actually the whole ozone hole is bigger now than it was even in 1985. So that's depressing. Global temperature's gone up by half a degree, which may not seem like very much, but it can mess up a whole load of your shit, believe me. And we're chopping down all the forests, basically.
Yeah.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, great news, great news. One thing, though, that did strike me in all this, and it's topical at the moment because we've had, as mentioned in the last episode, Mr. Xi, I think you called him Boss of China.
Boss of China, Boss of the UK as well.
Apparently he's a very much, certainly kind of dominatrix of the UK.
Yes.
And he's been over, and the upshot is there's going to be a nuclear power plant in Hinkley C, probably. That's in Somerset. And I got thinking about this. I was like, what the heck? What would Doc think? What would Doc Brown think? What would Marty McFly think about a technology which is 60 years old, this thing, and only came about because we needed some way to make making nuclear weapons slightly less kind of palatable. So turned it into this kind of hideously expensive and complicated way of producing energy. And it's just a bit outdated, isn't it? I mean, it really is. It's the technology of yesterday. And I want to have that optimism I had as a kid about the future. I used to be really excited about things. Actually, this has come true. This is amazing. I saw a video about a driverless car. Did you see that?
I've seen lots of things. It's happening. It's a thing.
It's happening.
Driverless cars are a thing.
Amazing video I watched where a guy who was like really freaked out and he just kind of let go of the steering wheel and this car.
That's
was
what
like,
I did when we went to see Chris Packham. Told me off for that though.
Yes, yes. Well, it wasn't a driverless car, that one, was it? It was a
it
car.
It was for a bit, mate.
His car whose driver was less. This one was meant to be doing it, and it was changing lanes on its own. It was working out where the cars in front were, and it was applying the brakes and everything. This is exactly the stuff. I remember doing drawings of this stuff as a kid in primary school, saying, wouldn't it be brilliant if this happened? And it has happened. And I want to recapture that excitement about the future, and I find it really, really hard when we're just, you know, our politicians and our big business kind of dick swingers are just wedded to this cranky, expensive, old, concretey, you know, toxic, silly nuclear power. Why are we doing it, Dave?
Well, in fact, Doc Brown would have very much not approved, because if you remember, when he's gone forward to 2015 and he's turned his plutonium-powered flux capacitor, he's started to power it all off banana peels instead, because getting hold of plutonium to generate the 1.21 gigawatts was a pain in the bottom. So by 2015, he thought he'd be able to do that off of banana peel. So he'd be very surprised that we still have to build these colossal great structures and fill them with deeply, deeply poisonous stuff and set fire to it. And I don't have the faintest idea how a nuclear power station actually works. We bang stuff together anyway. That's what we do, don't we? And why are we doing it? Well, that is a very, very good question. And I think we're doing it because people think that renewable energy is the devil.
Which people think that?
Well, the government think it. So we've been talking for the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks, since we've been back from into season two of Sustainer Babble. We've been talking about all of the various assaults that this government is taking out on renewable energy. Go back and listen to episode 21, where we talk about solar in some depth. But, you know, we've talked about it all the way through in various ways, right? Renewable energy is newfangled and odd and doesn't work like things like nuclear power plants work, where you build this great big mahoosive, exceptionally expensive, very dangerous and costly thing, and you essentially turn it on and it generates you in one go, if it works, a great big wump of all the electricity you need as the nation. And because your entire electrical system is set up to you know, send the electricity down the pipes to go to people's houses. I really don't understand electricity, by the way.
Then you're saying it with confidence, and that's important.
Then that's how it works, right? Whereas, you know, renewable energy don't work like that, and it scares people. And I think one of the main things that's going on is people want to build nuclear because they're going, well, we need to have zero carbon, that's an important thing, and let's just build that great big thing that we know kind of works, even though, as in the case of this here Hinkley Point thing, it is going to be phenomenally expensive, and we're going to have to get the Chinese, who, you know, the only people in the world who don't care about stuff being politically a bit iffy, because they'll fund it anyway, to come and pay for it. And in order to do that, we shall crawl down on our hands and knees and take all of the sensitive private areas of the president of China into our mouth.
On that theme, for anyone who hasn't seen Steve Bell's cartoon on this this very topic, I do urge you to look it up. Yes, we don't condone it. Yes, we do.
We do. We talked
do
about
condone
it.
Exactly,
we made that joke first. There was some babble, wasn't there? You picked out a bit of babble. We haven't had Arabella for a couple of weeks, so can we get Arabella out of that closet? Arabella, come here. See what you make.
Talk to my niece like that.
Arabella, see what you make of this. You pick this out. How was it described, Hinkley Point C? What's it going to do?
Hinkley Point C will generate a stable source of clean power to nearly 6 million homes and will provide up to 25,000 employment opportunities.
What does that mean? What's an employment opportunity?
It's an employment opportunity, isn't it, Dave? It's that's when you get an opportunity to be employed.
Doesn't
for
mean
a bit.
Job, does it? They'd say
doesn't
job
mean a
if
job.
They meant job.
No, it doesn't mean a job. They've been very sneaky about this one, because in other places they have said jobs, but and they're going 25,000 jobs. Yeah, nuclear's brilliant. They don't mean that, because when it's actually running, which even EDF, the people who are going to build this thing, say is now going to be the year 2026,
blimey,
which is 11 years away, which kind of is a bit crazy. But anyway. Even at that point, they say that Hinkley Point C will employ around 900 permanent staff. Now, that's a lot of people in one sense, but it's also not that many people when you're betting the entire farm on this thing. And at the peak of building the thing, it's going to be 5,500 people. Again, very good. But let's just compare and contrast this highly spurious, incredibly expensive, pointlessly slow to build and a bit dodgy kind of remote controlled security threat that is Hinkley Point with, you know, the solar industry, which already employs 35,000 people, up from about zero 5 or 6 years ago.
33,000 by now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. And by the time this podcast goes out, it's probably about 29. But that's another point altogether. The point is, you can get all your jobs benefits by doing renewables. You can get all your electricity by doing renewables if you're serious about it. You can get your economic benefits from doing renewables. Why do we insist on doing stupid things like Hinkley? And I know you and I have disagreed in the past about nuclear power, but I really think that this is a bit silly.
And I'll tell you what's particularly silly about it. And this is maybe a nice way to wrap up this whole Back to the Future style section, right? So a couple of things. Firstly, if Hinkley Point C does indeed open in the year 2026, that'll be 50 years since the original Star Wars film was filmed, right? So that's,
wow. Yeah,
which is quite a scary thought in itself. Never mind that. It will then get for 35 years after that. So all the way until the year 2060, it is going to get a subsidy, and a big fat subsidy, right? The year 2060, I am going to be 80 years old, right? Arabella is going to be, Arabella be then, like in her 50s, right?
Yeah, and then, well, she's six now. When are we talking? 2060. 2060?
Yeah.
Hang on, you keep talking, I'll do the math.
She'll be in her 50s, 51, something like that. And we will be signed up, even then, in the year 2060, 40 years away from the 22nd century, right? We will still be paying, according to this deal that we stitched up now, in order to persuade someone who, the French government and the Chinese government, to come and build something that has required subsidy for all the time it's been built and never managed to get the cost down. Phenomenally expensive. Can you imagine what renewable energy is going to look like by then? What it's going to cost? Yeah. We'll all have solar panels just spray painted onto our heads. Some of us probably find that easier than others, right?
Shearer's Island will be an electricity generating beacon visible from space.
And it's just, that's the bit that boggles belief to me. The idea that we're going to look back on this when we're 40 years away from the 22nd century and say, thank God we're rid of that thing. My God, it's insane. It would be like if everyone was still being subsidised now to use fax machines, right? As happens in Back to the Future Part 2, where they still use fax machines, right? And it would be like, well, you know, this was hot potatoes back 45 years ago, whenever it was we first started doing it. And can you imagine not only what that would do if everyone was being subsidised to use fax machines, what that would do to the invention of anything else if there was absolutely no incentive to get rid of the fax machine, but also just how insane and bonkers we would think the government of all that time ago was. It's crazy.
Reasons to be cheerful. So, reasons to be cheerful. After all of that invective and spiel and guff about nuclear power and the future not being as good as we were promised, now we're going to cheer ourselves up with the news that McDonald's are going to save us all.
This is bonkers, isn't it? I noticed the McDonald's share price had gone up. That's the thing I saw today. So clearly they're doing something right after years and years of losing loads of money. Yes, what has happened is President Barack Obama, president of the free world and all-round man-hunk, has announced that 81 of your friendliest, nicest companies have signed up to pledges to tackle climate change. So this is your likes of Procter & Gamble, Nike, IKEA, Johnson & Johnson, and your aforementioned cow murdering, low wage paying, Golden Arch, children's toy pimping McDonald's.
Sinister Clown Man.
Sinister Clown Man McDonald's, that's right. Mm. Now, this didn't include oil and gas companies. They, you know, Exxon have failed yet again to join in with all the other companies and say, yes, we think that's a good idea too.
I'm sure it's an administrative oversight. I'm sure they're fully on board.
Well, their meter's probably run out. They probably haven't put, you know, they're probably not getting emails at the moment. Give them 50p to put in the meter. And this is yet another thing that Obama's doing with his dying the embers of his time in office, where what he's trying to do is to genuinely appears to be trying to do something about climate change. And he's done things like have a pop at Canada, and we'll talk about Canada in a minute. But he's got all these companies to say they're going to do stuff. And unlike with Shell and all the other oil companies we talked about last week, these guys are actually promising to actually do something, yes?
Well, some of them are. Some of them are. So it's a long kind of guffy press release, as you might imagine. And in another episode, it might be subject to some sustainable babble. But I did keep reading, and after about the 13th page, found the details of what they were actually promising to do, not just saying stuff. And there's actually quite a variety. And some of them are good, right? So you've got things like many of the companies have said, well, like IKEA, for instance, have committed to produce as much renewable energy as it consumed globally by 2020. Now, I'm sure there's all sorts of kind of clever accounting going on there, but there's two things about that. It's basically saying 100% renewable energy, and it's saying in 5 years' time. Now, that is a very good thing, and it's transformative, because as you will know, if you're a keen listener to this show, and you've got any sense of what's going on with the climate, it's more important what we do now tomorrow than it is what we do in 2050. So these long-term 2050 targets are basically pointless, because you've got to get the carbon out of the atmosphere now, because the longer it's up there, the worse damage it does. So this sort of stuff by IKEA is all right. The rest of them, though, well, and there's some other good ones. But, you know, Johnson & Johnson, where you go, they just vowed to do exactly what it said they shouldn't do. They said they'll cut carbon emissions by 80% by 2050, presumably by which time most of the people signing off this deal or this pledge will be dead or on a golf course somewhere and not giving two hoots about it. You can sod off with your 2050 pledges, frankly. Like, stuff, well, you know, ice caps and melting.
You can have a 2050 pledge, can't you? It's just that's the only thing you've got. That's
yeah,
the
okay. Well, so, if that's your contribution, you can sort of. I'm not interested. Do something now. What are you going to do between now and 5 years' time or now and next year? Because it's just easy, isn't it, 2050? It's like me saying, you know, well, I'll definitely, at 7 o'clock, I will definitely do the washing up by 11:30. It's like, well, that just means you don't have to do anything between now and 11:15, at which point you'll make up an excuse about how you should do it in the morning anyway.
Why don't you use a cup like any other human being?
Why don't you wash up occasionally like any other human being?
How dare you?
So is this a reason to be cheerful then? Business is doing stuff? I have always been a little bit cynical of companies saying they're going to do stuff, but this, so it feels like something's kind of changing. It feels like something is changing. I talked about this a bit last week in general with, you know, the US and China starting to get their act together on climate change. And we've got the big Mahusiv climate shindig in Paris at the end of the year. And these commitments mean something. Like if Siemens, for example, does reduce its global carbon footprint by 50% by 2020, it actually genuinely does that in 5 years' time. You know what? Fair play. I'm not going to be sniffy about that. That's going to require them to actually get off their bottom and do something. It's good, isn't it? And, you know, it's very easy to have a pop at companies, but credit where it's due. And I say that, you know, I'm fully prepared to actually be taken in by a great big wadge of green guff here. It could be that this is all complete fluff and hoo-ha, but I don't think President of the Free World and all-round man-hunk Barack Obama would, given how serious he seems to be, let him get away with it.
So, Inhofe time. Oh, blimey. This is
the choice, weren't we? This one.
Oh, goodness me, we were. This is the section, for those listeners new to the show, where, in honour of the American Senator Jim Inhofe, who is an idiot because he thinks climate change isn't real because there's still snow, we look for similarly idiotic people who have said idiotic things. And as Dave was saying, we could have picked pretty much anyone this week, but we had to come back to our old favourite. You know, you stick with what you know. If politics in this country has taught us anything, it's to stick with what you know. And so we're doing that. And our Inhofe this week is your man, soon to be president of the free world, Donald Trump.
Environmental protection? What they do is a disgrace. Every week they come out with new regulations. They make it impossible.
Who's going to protect the environment?
They will be fine with the environment. We can leave a little bit, but you can't destroy businesses.
We'll be fine with the environment. We can leave a little bit, but you can't destroy businesses.
What is he?
Schadenfreude of the week. So Schadenfreude time then. This is a section we don't get to do every week, but it's nice when we can, when someone who's been a knob has got their comeuppance. Who's got their comeuppance this week, Dave?
Well, so we talked in Sustainable 23A about Australian knob, Tony Abbott, who got his comeuppance when a member of his own party took him out the back and dropped a coup on him, right? And what's happened in Canada, which is also basically still ours, just like Australia is that the Inhofe Prime Minister Stephen Harper, who no one likes and everyone thinks is a dick, has been voted out.
Yes.
By a sexy man with a tattoo called Justin Trudeau.
Trudeau.
Who is 43.
He's got a nice, low, sexy voice.
Yeah, but he does. And he speaks French and English. And, you know, the ladies like him and everything. And he's the son of the former boss of Canada as well.
Yeah, big radical socialist boss of Canada. Yeah. Well, I mean, and more importantly, it wasn't, you know, Mr. Trudeau who kicked him out. It was the voting public.
Right.
So whereas in Australia, they just had their what is now their national sport of just you know, political coups and backstabbing to get rid of that particular Inhofe. This time around, they actually had democratic process to get him round, to get him out in Canada. So that is good news. And we didn't like Mr. Stephen Harper very much. Well, for all sorts of reasons. He didn't like climate change, or rather, he did like climate change, didn't like doing anything about climate change. He loved destroying the tar sands, and you were saying just now the jury is out on whether or not your man Trudeau is going to stop destroying the tar sands, but hopefully he can't do it any worse anyway.
The question is now, will Mr. Trudeau do anything different about climate change? So the big massive climate shindig in Paris is coming up at the end of the year, and Mr. Trudeau has promised to go to it, which is a good start, isn't it? And he's promised that when he comes back from it, he will put whatever happens into some sort of Canadian law. So he'll do national carbon targets or introduce a carbon price or something like that. He didn't mention it in his victory speech, so it can't be that important to him. But, you know, tentatively, all the people I know who are vaguely interested in Canada and the planet think it's good news, right? And at least that means now you don't have a prime minister or president or whatever the hell they've got over there of Canada who legalises the use of crossbow to kill migratory birds, which is what Stephen Harper's government did. Do you think then that complete and total Inhofes are no longer electorally viable? Or do we have to wait and see what happens with Donald Trump about that? Because it seems to me that all over the world, Inhofes are falling to some extent. So we've seen Abbott booted out, you know, and one of the reasons he was criticised was for being backwards on climate change. And now we've seen Harper booted out, and one of the reasons he was criticised was for being backwards on climate change. We've been talking a lot about Donald Trump, and quite frankly, if he gets in, who the hell knows what's going to happen. But, you know, is the fact that Harper and Abbott have gone a reason to be cheerful that maybe, and hopeful that maybe Trump won't get in? What do you reckon?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't think there's any kind of global trend. I think there's lots of different trends in different regions. And we still have some pretty mega Inhofes in the UK that, you know, I think there's a very good chance that George Osborne, who's been in this Inhofe corner a few times and spanked on the bottom repeatedly, I think he may well turn out to be the leader of the British Empire. Sorry, United Kingdom. And
I mean the Chinese Empire.
The leader.
The Chinese outpost.
Of the Chinese. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, but it is kind of hopeful, isn't it? And it proves that, at least it proves that being good on climate change doesn't immediately make you electorally toxic, and in fact the opposite. So who knows? Yeah, let's be cheerful.
Prediction time.
So, my favourite bit of the show. Listener, just skip forward to this bit every week if you want to hear me cheery and Dave glum. It is prediction time, where we have a little look at our crystal balls, what we whacked on the table. We try to use our powers of instinct and being told stuff to know whether something's going to happen. So far, I've got 4 of them right in the previous 27 shows, and Dave's got 1 of them right. He had a really good go last week, didn't you, Dave?
Yes. Predict something that I actually think is going to happen, right? Now, Amber Rudd, who is at least in principle the Secretary of State for Energy and Climate Change, even though George Osborne is the one who yanks her chains, she's going to do a speech. Yeah, that didn't happen. Although, well, more accurately, what I said was, can I have a bit of wiggle room? Because the whole speech hasn't happened yet, right? And you said you didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, or any of the speech.
No, the whole speech hasn't happened yet. But I still think when it happens, I did say, give me a bit of wiggle room, because the prediction was about the content of the speech, not the timing of the speech. So I sod you, right? I'm going to claim a win out of that, even when that speech ever happens and it's got nothing new in it.
That's ridiculous. But you're just predicting something will happen at some point in the future.
No, I'm predicting something won't happen at some point in the future.
Well, all right, I'm feeling magnanimous because I'm in the lead. That will change if you ever overtake me. I've got a prediction.
Go on.
I think that at the Rugby World Cup final, which is being played on Halloween, I think we said, and will be a big global TV event, I think there's going to be some sort of protest. Now, I'd like to stress If there are any authorities tapping this show or just listening, I don't know anything. Nobody's said any rumours. And I certainly don't know anyone who might be planning to do something. But, you know, maybe just a streaker. Or, like, did you see those people who...
Streakers don't count. You're not having a streaker.
Yes, I am having a streaker. No, that's a protest. That's a naked protest.
It isn't a naked protest.
That's what I told the police officer. It's a naked protest. So that is just about it for this week. That was Sustainable Apple 28. Thank you, Dave, for your application and verve and joie de vivre and other words I don't really understand. Thank you too to Arabella, who is my six-year-old niece and who has come back from the wilderness and helped us out with some babble.
Thanks, Arabella. Thank you, as always, to the legendary Dickie Moore for the music that starts, ends, and intertwinkles our beautiful little podcast. You can get in. Thank you very much. You can get in touch with us through the usual methods. We're on Twitter at The Babble Wagon. Join the ever-growing Babble Army. We are on Facebook. Just search for Sustainababble, or you can drop us an email to hello@sustainababble.fish. And if you download, listen, and enjoy this podcast, do leave us a little review or give us a star rating, as long as it's a good one, eh?
Okay, Dave, I will see you next week. Take care of yourself now, won't you?
Shall try. Bye-bye.
Bye.